from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Layoffs hit employees yesterday in Sunnyvale-based Yahoo, where some 4 to 5% of its 14,100 worldwide staff, all in the products group and on the U.S. side, received pink slips just as the holidays approach. And in this Forum segment, we turn our attention to the Yahoo firings and what they mean. Joining us in studio is Kara Swisher, co-executive director of All Things Digital, a website devoted to news, analysis, and opinion on technology, the Internet, and media, owned by Dow Jones, publisher of The Wall Street Journal. Good morning, Kara Swisher.
How you doing?
Okay. Thank you for being here. I also want to say good morning to Sarah Lacey, who's also with us in studio, senior editor of TechCrunch, author of Once You're Lucky, Twice You're Good, The Rebirth of Silicon Valley and the Rise of Web 2.0, and welcome, Sarah Lacey.
Thanks.
Thank you both for being here. Sarah, let me begin with you. This all has to do with Wall Street and the market, so it would appear.
Well, you know, I think Wall Street is now the catalyst because Yahoo has just done such a bad job for so long in terms of leadership and in terms of defining what they are. And people like to blame Carol Bartz, but this is a company that hasn't grown in revenues for a long time. And I was a little bit sad to see the company put out an announcement saying that personnel is one of their main strategies to grow the company. That's not how you grow a company. And, you know, this is unfortunately a company that I fear is just in a downward spiral. And you know, this is the third year they've had Christmas layoffs.
You feel bad about all the blame that Carol Bartz is getting, but she's been there 2 years. There's been no turnaround. In fact, one article I saw said, give her a pink slip.
Well, but Kara, who else is going to? This job makes anyone look stupid. There is a problem with the way the board works, with the way the company is organized, with the position that they're in the market. They've gotten themselves in a hole. And who else is going to take this job? I mean, I just don't know who this magical CEO candidate is. I don't think Carol's a panacea. I just think putting the whole blame of Yahoo on her shoulders is unfair.
No, you're not going to blame it on her.
But Swisher, you want in here.
I mean, she is the CEO. That's pretty much it. And it has been 2 years. And so, unfortunately, Yahoo is a bit of a Bermuda Triangle for management executives, and there seems to be some dysfunction at the heart of the company that is very difficult to overcome, either the way it was originally formatted. Often companies, and Sarah knows this, they have the DNA of their original founders, and I think Yahoo, you know, in good times, it was good for them, and now with all the fast change that they've needed to face, they've had a harder time. It doesn't fix it by fixing the CEO, and firing the CEO is just it makes it for a good headline. I think the problem is
does it fix it by simply cutting back on your work staff? I mean, 4 to 5%.
No, you can't grow yourself. You can't grow yourself into revenues by cutting.
At old media. What's amazing to me is Yahoo could have been the first thing we've really seen to be a real new media company. I mean, they were huge in audience. They had this whole new strategy for aggregating content and aggregating pretty good content and doing a good job with Yahoo Finance, sports, entertainment. They could have been a new modern global daily paper, but they screwed it up because they went in this Hollywood content direction and then they tried to be a technology company and compete with Google, which they didn't have the DNA to do. And now suddenly this new media company, quote unquote, is finding itself in the same situation of every magazine and newspaper where they're just trying to cut staff every Christmas and hope there's some magical turnaround. It's sad they've gotten to that position so quickly.
Well, you hear the argument that they're a bloated company, but you also hear the argument that this is just a small part of the workforce. There's no need to say this is doom coming down, Kara.
No, it's just that, you know, over at Google, they were giving them 10%. They were giving them raises.
And they're hiring more people.
And hiring people at Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg just became Time Man of the Year. There's obviously growth going on there. I mean, during Carol's watch, there's been Foursquare, there's been Groupon. Those are all companies that Yahoo should have been in those
businesses. A lot of the attrition and layoffs were in areas like Flickr and Delicious, companies that Yahoo was in the forefront of acquiring that they were never able to do very much with.
Yeah, all those acquisitions kind of went nowhere.
I think it does go to the CEO. She is rather well paid, as has been written about many times. And ultimately, it's the staff that stays there and changes things. And I don't think she knew the kind of mess that she was getting into when she got there. And at the very same time, moving a little faster, I don't run a big company, so I don't know how difficult it is to make changes at these companies. But it was clear something was wrong, you know, something was rotten in Denmark when she took over because of the Microsoft hostile takeover, that and everything else, and a lot of the attrition that was going on before among top executives. But when you lose, for example, a couple months ago, they lost the three top executives in one half of the major company, the advertising and media part, the three top executives, the person in charge of U.S., the person in charge of U.S. audience, and the person in charge of media. It's like, what's going on? You have to start to
Well,
wonder.
And she's doing an awful job with dealing with the Asia assets, which are what's propping up the stock price. I mean, to me, that's the bigger headline on the big problem with Yahoo going forward. It's not them laying off people here or there.
Yeah, but the Asia markets are burgeoning. In fact, they're adding employment there, aren't they?
Well, no, they're not adding employment. They have Asian assets. They own Yahoo Japan,
They own portions of them.
And they have portions of Alibaba Group, which owns the Yahoo brand name in China. And they're worth – I think they make up much of the value of Yahoo, the U.S. assets.
It's pretty much cash and the Asia assets.
And they don't have
the
costs
stock.
That they have here, yeah. Obviously.
No, it's just – it's a valuable asset. And a lot of people feel they should sell it, take that money, and do something with it here in the U.S.
There's been talk about selling. There's also been a lot of talk about merging with AOL. I'm looking at actually a statement here from Gabriel Consulting Group analyst Dan Olsbury. He says, putting AOL and Yahoo together is like tying two rocks together to make one of them float.
Well, there's been a lot of jokes like that.
But it's not happening. In fact, I think, Sarah, it was you who said that they were never really a rival of Facebook. They're more a rival to AOL, and maybe their real rival is themselves.
Yeah, I think they're rivals themselves. I mean, Yahoo has always been a really unique company. The things they've been number one in, they've never really doubled down on and worked on. Instead, they've always chased these markets where they're a distant number two. And they're just kind of a collection of number twos. And there's so much internal fighting in that company. You know, the content people were always upset that they were number one and they were and all the revenues were going to search where they were never going to catch up. Now Yahoo's kind of given up in search and sort of what's left, these decimated properties they didn't take care of.
Although they're still number one in news, in finance, in sports. They still have – and they're number one in mail. They're number one in a lot of things. And you know –
You know what else is number one? Who? Because you said Carol Bartz is well paid for her job. She's number one CEO now. She actually makes $47.2 million a year.
That's a confusing number. She's got to get those stock options. She makes a lot of money.
She had a Les Moonves, for example.
Well, the stock has to get up for her to get that big payment.
That's
out.
A big F.
But
well, like I said, it starts with Wall Street, doesn't
right,
it?
Right. Well, they all get paid too much, don't
Let
they?
Me do this. Let me open the phone lines. We're going to continue talking, obviously, with Kara Swisher and Sarah Lacey, but I'd like to hear from you, especially maybe some who have gotten their pink slips. If you're out there listening and what kind of effect it's having on you, I'd like to hear maybe more about the package that's being given to those who are being handed a pink slip. But, you know, the morale must be terrible. And you may just want to comment on what this means in terms of Yahoo as a company, as for many years is certainly an extraordinary brand name company. Our toll-free number is available to you. It's 866-733-6786. And we do welcome your calls. And the time to call would be now. Toll-free, 866-733-6786. And that'll work whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite. You can also send an email to us. forum@kqed.org is our email address, or post a question or comment on our website simply by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on the segment. And again, Kara Swisher is co-executive editor of All Things Digital. I think I said director before.
Yes, it's a nice job. I like it.
Sounds better.
I want to write.
You can give me an inflated title.
Well, what would your inflated title be instead of senior editor?
You could say, you know, queen of TechCrunch.
All right. We've got Sarah Lacey, the queen.
Dubious title there.
Queen of TechCrunch. And we'll have you, our callers, on here as soon as you care to join us, and certainly welcome those calls. And again, this is why has this essentially been so much a lack of growth where Yahoo is concerned?
Well, you know, I go right to the board. I've written very angry articles about the board.
I think it's one of the worst boards in Silicon Valley.
It's one of the worst boards in Silicon Valley. They've been they mucked up that Microsoft. They had an offer for quite a lot of money, and they make their arguments why they didn't take it. But
then
the
take it private and do something with it.
You know, it's just it's a board that's at once obstructive and at the same time powerless. And so it's obviously doesn't. There's some weird psychodrama going on there, and so it's not effective in managing the company. And that must be hard for Bartz. She needs a better board, I think. You know, it's got a founder, Jerry Yang, who is sometimes there and sometimes not. He is quite involved still. But these people are going up against Mark Zuckerberg. They're going up against Steve Jobs. They're going up against Larry and Sergey at Google. They're going up against Jeff Bezos. This is hard. And
you mean a woman CEO going against all these men CEOs?
She's a very good tech executive. She's very experienced in tech. She's not an internet executive. So it's harder. It's going to be, you know, harder. She's going to need, you know, Jerry's help in that regard. And so that's who they're competing against. And so it's very important that they bring innovative entrepreneurs entrepreneurs into that company and give them power.
And I mean, look at even AOL with Tim Armstrong. I mean, he's been lauded. Everyone thinks he's great. You know, this company Glassdoor that tracks approval ratings. Tim Armstrong's is over 70%. His predecessor was 13. You know, all it takes is yeah, he did have a good comparison. But I mean, all it takes is someone who can be, you know, a leader and captivate for, you know, them to get some honeymoon period. And she just hasn't done that.
Well, she had a honeymoon period, the cursing and the saucy.
How much is
that?
A
lousy honeymoon. I mean,
2 years in the digital world is a long time.
Oh, it's 100 years. It's
yeah, exactly.
Years.
I mean, she's been there 2 years. I don't know. What about the fact that these are products group people? I mean, they create the services they sell and they build web projected properties, and they're mostly in the United States,
right.
These layoffs. But how does that affect the whole operation?
Well, maybe it's the wrong products that they're working. It could be in search. I'm guessing there's probably a lot of search people.
For years, Yahoo was just putting more and more people and more and more people into search. And it just wasn't going anywhere. And now they've obviously turned on that strategy. I mean, it's also a lot of people that they acquired in different acquisitions like Delicious and Flickr. And so, you know, I think it's a view that maybe they're finally getting back to their strengths of content. But, you know.
Do you know anything about the morale at Yahoo now?
Oh, yes, I do. Yeah. Yes, I do.
It's pretty grim, huh?
I publish a lot of internal memos and things like that on our site, and it's very grim. I think they're
and they've had problems with recruiting.
Someone told me just yesterday that it's almost comically bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's the people are almost laughing. It's so bad, and then they're not laughing. Obviously, losing jobs in the holiday season is just awful. Even if it's smaller than people expected, it's still many hundred people.
But I think the thing too is there's so many people who've worked at Yahoo since the late '90s, and a lot of their personal wealth and their security is tied up in the stock. And when Jerry Yang, you know, somewhat cavalierly decided not to take Microsoft's offer, that was when it got really bad inside Yahoo, because the true blue believers who've been at that company for more than a decade, who really believed in it, that's when Yahoo's management lost them, because, you know, Jerry's made billions. These people hadn't made money, and he tanked their opportunity too.
Going to be more layoffs, you think?
Oh, they could cut a lot more, I think.
Definitely.
Probably many people think that, you know, they could be half as big.
And then Carol Barth can always run for public office, like Charlie Fiorina and Meg
Whitman. Yeah,
that
Whitman
turned
did, out well right? for those
you know, ladies. You do the layoffs and then you run for public office.
You know, she's a Republican, or what she told me she was. She enjoys Fox News, apparently, like my mother.
Since we're talking about Carol Barth, our first caller, Dan, wants to talk about her. He's a former employee of hers. Hi, Dan, you're on.
Oh, hi there. I worked with Carol at Sun Microsystems a number of years ago. And for a few years, and when I heard that she had been appointed to head Yahoo, I was just appalled, because I don't think you could have picked a worse person for the job. You know, she's basically a competent manager with a huge ego, and has really no skills and no imagination that would be appropriate for the area that she's in. And when I hear
didn't she have a pretty good track record at Autodesk, though?
She had one of the biggest stock rises of any.
Yeah.
I mean, she put that company on the map, and she didn't know anything about CAD software going in.
Well, all I can say is when I hear her compare herself to Steve Jobs,
that's
pretty laughable.
Yeah, she should.
Well, when she says Facebook is their competition, it's pretty laughable. Well,
I think the Steve Jobs comment is actually a very good one. I've actually written she's got to stop doing this. I said unless she has a magic iPad to pull out of her, you know, pull out of the drawer at the end of this, she should not be compared. I know it annoys Apple, there's other comparisons and. That's one that is definitely irksome.
I want to hear another former employee right from the other side of the spectrum. Diane from Portola Valley. Hi.
Hi. I actually worked for Carol Barth for about 10 years, and I find some of the criticism coming her way quite unfair. She was an amazing CEO. She's incredibly charismatic. She is innovative. She really knows how to trim down and put a team together. So I just wanted to say that I find the criticism quite unfair.
Okay. Glad you got on record there. And seems to always go back to the CEO, doesn't it?
Well, it does. I mean, they're the leader. You know, it's like the president right now. He's, you know, it's not just the president.
Getting the shellacking.
But he's the president. One of the things I tell you, she is a very competent CEO, and she did a very good job at Autodesk. I think it's just this company, I don't think she realized.
This job makes you look awful. I mean, Simmel, Jerry Yang, Carol Barth, all really, really different people with different skill sets, all really accomplished, all looked like idiots in that chair. And, you know, part of it is the CEO, part of it's the board, part of it's the siloed management teams. It's not an easy job.
Do we know anything about the package that these pink slip people are getting?
I do not. I could find out if you'd like.
I mean, I heard it's kind of 2 months' salary.
It's probably as typical. You know, they're very generous in Silicon Valley. Yahoo's been generous with its employees, too.
More of your calls to Berkeley we go. Joe, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, thank you. Join us.
Great show today. I was calling and kind of touching on the toxic culture that exists there and has for some time. A good friend of mine went to work there from 2001 to 2003 in a VP position and was bringing in some fresh ideas and put together a package of new business that was going to start up about a $65 million to $100 million group. And he started getting squashed by the existing SVPs. And after a while, he would go to a meeting and they'd say, "We're not going to listen to this FNG," if you're familiar with that expression. And when I called in earlier, we sort of touched on the fact that if it wasn't created at GM, we're not going to listen to the idea. And I'll take my, response off the air, if that makes sense.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
That's, Yahoo.
Kara Swisher.
Yahoo has that reputation. I mean, I think they've always had that reputation of being, I've often seen products.
Toxic?
Toxic, yes.
That was the word he used initially.
Yeah, there's a lot of internal politicking. There's a lot of cover your assness there. One of the things that I've noted, you can have a very toxic culture and still do incredible things. Many companies are like that. But what I think the problem was there that I always noticed, I would see products at Yahoo, and a year later, some fancy startup would get funded a huge amount doing the same product, and you'd never see Yahoo release it. And it was riveting to see so many innovative products somehow get lost in that. It's called the matrix at Yahoo. They have a matrix management. They had a matrix. They still do, really. And so people blocked each other a lot in terms of product release. And it was fascinating to see so many great products never reach consumers.
But in recent years, there hasn't been much money going into startups at Yahoo to buy startups or to, for that matter, put in an innovation, which is really what one needs for growth.
That's true.
Well, they've been in damage mode for a couple of years. And I mean, that's where the Wall Street aspect comes in. I mean, once Wall Street starts, really going after you and you don't have a CEO who's like, Bezos or Larry Ellison, who's going to stand up and say, "No, I'm investing in growth. I'm going to do this. You can jump off the board or, you can jump off the bus or not." You just go into this sort of death by a thousand cuts. I mean, they said in their statement part of their revenue growth strategy was cutting employees. That doesn't make any sense, I think, to anyone who's trying to innovate in technology. It's just they're in a spiral.
It also sends a message to entrepreneurs who might want to be bought by Yahoo. They've had some trouble. They recently, they're almost like the canary in the coal mine. They were the first ones to go after Foursquare. They were the first ones to go after Groupon to buy them. But
Facebook.
Those and Yelp, several others, and
excuse
YouTube.
Me, we're talking about what, a $20 billion company?
What? Which one?
Yahoo.
Yes, it is. They at the time, they had all these opportunities to buy these companies. And the last few, these entrepreneurs didn't want to work there.
Yeah.
And
I mean, the Yelp deal, the big reason that Yelp didn't sell to Google was because Yahoo made a higher offer and they, by fiduciary duties, could not accept that much of a lower offer. Google would not counter and the executive refused to work at Yahoo.
I mean, that's a problem.
And we're talking to Sarah Lacey from TechCrunch, queen of TechCrunch, and Kara Swisher, co-executive editor of All Things Digital. And
it's like being queen of like Latvia or something.
More
of TechCrunch
calls.
Isn't Latvia.
No, but I mean, you want to be queen of a blog site.
Latvia before it was
so
part of the
power.
Soviet Union or after?
Same thing at All Things D. If I'm queen of it, it's just like it's.
David, join us. Hi,
blog
you're
site
on the
royalty.
Yeah, hi. I hardly ever go to Yahoo. I mean, back in the 90s, it was popular as a search, but then it had its lunch stolen by Google. So really, what is Yahoo's core money-making offering?
Advertising.
Yeah, they still are one of the largest sites on the web. And I think one thing that creates that political infighting within the company is everyone relies on their real estate on that front page, because that front page gets half a billion people a month coming to it. And it drives a lot of traffic. And that drives a lot of display ads the same way a magazine that has half a billion people coming to it.
I think
would.
David's also asking, what do they have to offer, really? I mean,
well,
as opposed
Yahoo
to-
Finance, Yahoo Sports, Yahoo News, Yahoo Entertainment are, some of the biggest properties. And I still go to Yahoo Finance every day. I go to Yahoo Sports. Look, we just got bought by AOL. I don't go to AOL for anything. I actually go to Yahoo for more things than AOL.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they are the biggest. I mean, that's the thing. They do have amazingly wonderful properties.
It's a much better brand name than AOL.
And they have the biggest display business. They do. They still have it, but Google's coming on strong in display. They have the biggest email business right now, but not that it makes a lot of money, but, Facebook is coming on strong there. And so they're seeing challenges in all their key areas. And search, obviously, they've kind of abrogated that to Microsoft.
Speaking of email, if you want to add to this conversation, you can in the minutes remaining by emailing us forum@kqed.org. Or, of course, you can post a question or comment on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment. And Our phone number, 866-733-6786. That's our toll-free number. Feel free to join us in the moments we have remaining. Let's get Martin on from Santa Clara. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning. Thanks. It's a great topic. I actually used to work for Carol at Auto, and I saw just some tremendously good things and tremendously horrific things. I saw her take advantage of opportunity in the market space to add new products to her portfolio. And on the other hand, I saw an extremely disciplined company. But my question or topic is related to the Wall Street, the quarterly measurement, always under that constant pressure. And unless you're too visionary, and as you said earlier, if you're not an Ellison that's willing to stand up and say, hey, you know, I'm going to invest in the future and this is it, this is my plan, back off, I'm not sure Carol is the person that can do that.
I mean, that's the downside to hiring someone who doesn't know the internet and doesn't know the ad business. You know, she just doesn't have the credibility to do that inside the company or outside, unfortunately.
Thank you for the call, Martin. Kevin just reminds me that one of the Yahoos in Asia is using Google as their search engine.
Yes, yeah, we broke that story. Masa-san shifted. He runs. He's essentially the biggest investor in Yahoo Japan, and told Carol he was shifting to Google, which says you don't really have to say much more after that. But they didn't want to obviously go with Microsoft because now Microsoft technology is serving Yahoo search, and so he shifted. But it's of course ironic.
I once said on the air, I may have told you the story, or maybe I've told it on the air before, about use your search engine, and I got a call from a Yahoo executive. Don't know if that executive is still there because it's been a
probably
lot of
not.
I said, thank you, for not saying Google, because most people do say Google.
Yeah.
Let me get another caller on, and that's you, Sen from Palo Alto. Good morning.
Good morning. So I have a comment. I have been in the Valley for quite some time now, and I have some friends from Yahoo who are seriously smart engineers. Some of them are at Yahoo, some of them left Yahoo. But when you look at Yahoo, there are a lot of good engineers who do a lot of great things inside the company. If you look at Hadoop, if you look at their small projects that go on, it's really nice. But the thing is, the culture of the company has changed a lot. I don't know if it's the CEOs, like whether it's Terry Semel, Jerry Yang, Carl Barth, I really don't know. But there is something inherent about the company now that nobody wants to go near it. I started using the internet on Yahoo, and Yahoo was all it is. I don't know what's happened to the company. Do you guys see it coming back from this?
I think you can always come back from anything. I do.
I don't.
Believer.
I don't. Think
it's funny. You're saying that and she's shaking her head negatively.
Here's what I think. I think if you have a strong narrative, they are still gigantic. And I know it's declining. It's not declining. You know, here's Tim Armstrong over at AOL with a narrative. There's not stories are – Silicon Valley is about stories and products are about stories and that consumers want.
The culture's changed in Silicon Valley. And,
I think
like the culture at HP
changed.
I don't know.
You could do something gigantically dramatic. Take it private. Make it smaller. Focus just on content. Someone's got to be the Condé Nast of the internet. Why not?
Well, and that's what AOL did with something dramatic.
Right. It has such a bad set of assets in comparison. And so,
I agree.
He's struggling because he has such a bad set of assets in comparison. It's not the story that's the problem. And I think, Yahoo's way ahead of the Condé Nast and the Hearsts of the world. And it's a very lucrative business. It's not Google. It's not other businesses, but it's a very lucrative business.
But, don't you think time has run out? Like, the time to me to take it private was a couple years ago.
I don't know. AOL's still around, still kicking around.
AOL also, by and large, is not competing for talent in Silicon Valley.
Right, that's
and
true.
That is a huge disadvantage that Yahoo has.
I was talking about changing culture, though, and Carly Fiorina was blamed for the culture that changed at HP.
A strong, correct leader can change things. And if you – it requires something not dramatic for the press point of view, although it would be, I think. It's a dramatic – there can be – you can force dramatic change. It is still a very popular brand around the world. I mean, here we are.
Who is going to go lead Yahoo?
I think it would be a really interesting – some people think I'm obsessed with Yahoo, which I kind of am about writing about it. But I do think it's one of these properties that's iconic and is still not tarnished with consumers as much as it is here.
Well, and I think Yahoo is a unique brand. It's a little bit like Palm in the Valley. I think it's one of those companies that people in the Valley really root for and have a lot of goodwill towards. And I think that there's not grave dancing over Yahoo the way there was over MySpace or the way there have been over other companies. People really would like this brand to be revived. And a lot of big CEOs worked with Jerry Yang, worked with the board, worked with Carol, but the companies rejected all of it. I mean, they've had so many chances and they haven't done it. I just don't don't see it happening.
I mean,
I wish it could.
What could happen is a big investor, Gordon Crawford, some of the others that have been big investors in that company could mount a challenge. You know, Carl Icahn tried his. That was a crazy time. But there, things could happen. And you know, fire the board has always been. I write my annual Fire the Yahoo Board story, which never seems to
happen. Yeah, as long as the board's there, it's not happening.
Let me get John on. John, thanks for waiting. Join us. Hi.
Hi, this is John.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah. I was at Apple during the turnaround when Steve Jobs came back. I was there a total of 12 years. And I think I was involved in probably the most incredible turnaround ever in corporate history.
Yes.
One of the things I saw there, well, a number of the things that I saw, was the first thing Steve did was to take an HR person and fire 30% of the company. I'm not suggesting that's the only way to turn a company around, but what he did was immediately make the company profitable. Then at that point, he cut down the product line from a really diverse and eclectic product line to four simple products. And I think the biggest thing he did then was reconnect with his customers. I don't know if you remember the Think Different campaign.
Sure.
Those three things, becoming profitable by getting the finances in line, cutting down to a core product line, and then re-engaging with their customers, something I haven't seen at Yahoo.
And I think if they had taken the company private a couple years ago, that's exactly what the playbook would have been.
But I think you can still do that in a public way. I mean, it's the old "what is Yahoo" question. We've had Jerry and Carol and various people at our D conference before, and that's the question that always seemed to stop them up. You tell a story. You come up with a story and it's the right and correct story for the company, and that's what they don't have.
They don't have their narrative.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let me get one quick call on Jane. That's you. Hi.
Hi, I want an opinion from the queens of tech blog.
Not me. Disney? I'm a Duke Duchess.
Okay, well, Duchess and Queen. Disney buys Yahoo, mm-hmm. merges Yahoo with ABC News, and uses it to cross-promote all of their properties. Is it brilliant, or is it Time Warner AOL all over again?
Oh, I'd like that. That would be fun. Bob Iger's a very, very good CEO and very smart about digital. I think it would be a briar patch. It sounds like a, you know, and also actually they'd get one of their executives back, the head of digital at Disney. One of the heads of digital is a former Yahoo executive. It's an interesting idea. It's one of those big, messy things that could be a disaster.
Sheryl Sandberg is on the board of Disney.
Yeah, Sheryl Sandberg's on the board
of Disney. There'd be a lot of interesting drama
between those
companies.
You know, there were talks between Yahoo and Disney several different times over history. And there was that. Actually, Yahoo buying Disney was one of them, actually. Interesting. It's an I love all the scenarios. There are, you know, News Corp, Microsoft.
Yeah, I think Yahoo News Corp or Yahoo Condé Nast makes more sense because of the print. You know.
Thank Jane for the call. Thank you, Queen Sarah, Duchess Kara, and good to have you both here. Again, Kara Swisher is co-executive editor of All Things Digital, Sarah Lacey, senior editor of TechCrunch. We are here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, and hours repeated 10 to 11 in the evening. When we come back, we're going to talk with Abraham Sofer of Hoover and Stanford, who has a book out all about the questions having to do with legitimacy of using force, and I'm talking obviously about military force. Thank you for being part of this program. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our producers, Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell. Our engineer, Danny Bringer. And our executive producer, Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.